Happy Tuesday.
Good morning, everybody. It is the 22nd of August, 2023. There's a lot of 20s in there. And we're back.
We are. Welcome back to Morning Tea, or welcome back Morning Tea.
Yeah. It's nice to be back, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
This is 3 weeks after, I think, 3 weeks after August Rush or something like it.
Yeah, I don't know.
2 weeks.
This might be, we always say this, and then it's like, we did this the last time, but this might be our longest pause in Morning Tea, but it might not be.
Yeah, because it seems like our last podcast was in June, wasn't it? Or was it July?
Oh, July, yeah.
It was July?
Yeah.
Okay, well then.
We may have had one in August.
It feels like it was a lot longer.
I don't know. Yeah, we don't know.
But here we are.
Here we are.
We're back.
Yeah. Yeah, we are renewed empty nesters.
We are.
Yeah, we had Laurel and Wave with us for a month, and now they've returned to Cyprus, so we are acclimating to being empty nesters again.
Yeah, back in the saddle again, as they say.
Yeah, but yeah, missing everybody that was here for AR and just remembering the days very, very deeply, and then we got to have the Cajal Leaders Retreat after, and that was just none of it could have been better. Just was wonderful, wonderful days.
It was
together.
Yeah, those are all great days, and Elohim really moved, and we just are so in awe of getting to live this life always.
Yeah. Hey, we have a couple of birthdays.
We do have a couple of birthdays, don't we? That's amazing.
We do. So we have Bearer and Nahal. Both share today as a birthday. So happy birthday, you two.
Happy birthday, guys.
Yeah.
Big high fives.
Yeah. Yeah. Celebrating you today.
We are celebrating you today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's always fun. Seems to be a birthday almost every day. That's pretty cool.
Well, yeah, I'm sure there is one every day.
No, I mean people we know. In our little family.
Yeah, yeah, so our local,
we get to celebrate a lot, which is one of our joys.
Yeah, it's always fun on Tuesdays because then we can sing to them at Together. And
yeah,
we will be live streaming tonight. So I don't think we really weren't doing that. I don't know. Yeah, I have no...
I'm going to take a bit.
Things forward. I have no idea.
We have to rev the engines a little bit. It's okay.
Yes.
Just kind of get that flow going.
Yeah.
Because we don't really know.
These are all things I could have looked at beforehand and been like, oh, it's been this long, but did I do that? I didn't. So here we are just bumbling through. It's okay.
Well, there's a rhythm that we have to reestablish.
Yeah, for sure.
We're reestablishing our rhythm, which is pretty amazing, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
8:22.
My notes say that this is morning tea 11:22:23. So I was in a dive for that in that podcast yesterday. So it's actually not that day.
It isn't.
I'm doing great.
That's right. That's okay. We can have rough edges after all those. I really, 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 really want to encourage everybody that that has not, or if you missed any of the sessions from August Rush, we hope that you go back and watch those videos at augustrush.com. And we hope that if you did get to see them, that you've had the opportunity to pray over some of the things that Elohim was saying and maybe rewatched some of those videos. If you haven't already, it's definitely worth it. I've just started peeking in there and I'm ready to start rewatching. Well, actually, we haven't watched them at all, but we were there.
Yeah. But we do watch them.
Yeah.
After.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Watch and listen. And we start with worship. With praise, because the Blue Army, goodness, they just preach. And so we always, when we're watching AR or Winter Tea, we start with praise, and I'm always taking notes of the things that they sang and just different different times throughout. And so we start with that. We don't leave that out. It's just, it's really a wholeness, a completeness when we include with the Blue Army released as well.
Yeah, those sessions as they are from August Rush will be at augustrush.com. And then eventually we'll just have the videos themselves of the sessions, but the praise of the Blue Army will be in the audio of the Blue Army Radio.
Yes.
So you'll get to listen to that for as long as you want to. There are so many hours. I don't know that we've ever counted, but a lot of hours of praise in the Blue Army Radio that goes back years.
Yes.
And always hope that people are having that in their background if they would choose to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that is just absolutely dancing on the tip of my tongue right mm-hmm. now are all of the testimonies that we have experienced and the ones that have come to us from the session 4, which was the power of praise, and this new praise that Elohim showed us from the Bible, which was Tehillah. And Tehillah, if you want to say it very Hebrew, you'd say Tehillah. So Tehillah is the power of praise that God showed us Jesus would express on earth, and some of his greatest creative miracles came with him praising. And as we began stepping into that immediately, we began seeing very creative miracles. And so we really want to celebrate those. It's worth it to see what God is doing, to proclaim what God is doing, and to let it be a sort of a launching pad for us to go forward, growing in the love that God has given us, and how that love includes an understanding of who we are as sons and daughters, that we can do things that are not just, you know, not just showing off the power of God, but actually just living in the power of God, because that was God's intent all along. I want to start us out with Psalm 73, verse 28, which just says, "But for me, it is good to be near God." I love that. "But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works." And that's got to be us. It just has to be. We want to be close to God. We want to live with God. We want God to be our refuge. And we want to not only experience the good works of God, but to tell them.
Yes, yes.
To share them. This is just who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
Yeah.
It's one of those oldie but goodies, but it's worth saying again.
Yes.
So if you have not watched session 4, I don't want to. Every single session of August Rush was off the charts, so don't miss any of them. We're just highlighting session 4 today. If you've not watched it, that this might be a little out of context, but you can do that at augustrush.com, and there is a playback video. You can drop down and pick your sessions. Highly recommend watching all of them. We're talking about session 4 right now, which is the power of praise. So this word Tehillah is from Strong's Hebrew 84:16. It's a noun feminine, so we know it's bridal in nature, which God highlights to us when these things are revealed, that as the bride is being seen, known, and chosen, that we will find more and more the power, authority, and truth that God set aside for the bride, that we might complete the works of Jesus, that Jesus read in Luke chapter 4 from Isaiah 61. And so Tehillah is made of Tav, Hey, Lamed, Lamed, Hey. That's got a nice rhythm to it. Mm-hmm. Tav, Hey, Lamed, Lamed, Hey. I like that. Okay, so that's Tehillah. And so from that word, we got the Spirit-revealed covenant. And that is that adult breath brings the governmental authority to create. Now, in the context of the bride, whenever we see the word adult, we're thinking immediately the maturing sons and daughters of God that all of creation was groaning for, as Paul taught us in Romans 8, verse 19 through 21. So here are the maturing sons and daughters of God, and our breath is certainly as much our exhale, which is that word breath in Hebrew, ruach, which is also spirit. And so as we breathe out the spirit of our praise to God, that Tehillah praise, this brings a governmental authority. So that's so bridal. Only the maturing sons and daughters of God who are betrothed to Jesus have that governmental authority to do what? Well, in this case, with Tehillah praise, it's to create. And so what was so fun in this session, this chapter of the book Terraforming Praise, is we got to go through the different times that Jesus did this. One of those was, of course, fish and loaves. So when Jesus created enough fish and enough loaves of bread to feed 5,000 men plus women and children, Jesus did that, but first he gave thanks. And when he gave thanks, he brought his Tehillah praise to Elohim. And Jesus, who of course was the first adult, breathed, he exhaled, he released the spirit of praise. And Jesus carried the governmental authority. We know this from, I'm pretty sure, Isaiah 9, which was, you know, the authority was on his shoulders. And then he created. He created fish and loaves. Wow, okay. So instead of, I think, you know, one of the things that maybe we've had in the church through all these years has been maybe just we've said, well, Jesus was the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. So Jesus and only Jesus can do those miracles. And we left it to Jesus. And then we started saying, oh, no, wait, we're supposed to be doing these miracles. So then we're asking God to do these miracles. And God's kind of giving us that, you know, just that little bit of encouragement. Yes, yes, keep going, keep going. But really what it all came down to was intimacy, our relationship with God. Do we have that relationship with God where we're in God's presence, we're intimate with God, we're connecting with God, and God is showing us more and more about who we are as individuals and who we are collectively. And collectively, we are the bride of Jesus. We are the bride of the Lamb. The wedding of the Lamb is coming, and this is one of those, we don't know when, we just know that we're on that train, and that track is heading straight towards a wedding. There are no stoplights. It is a direct route. So how do we bring our Tehillah praise? Well, first and foremost, God said to us, it begins with a surrender, and that's when we choose to lay down our armor and stop protecting ourselves. But it's also more than that. It's stop trying to do it ourselves. Stop trying to find our little solutions to make things work. And surrender, because we're choosing that God and God alone is going to do this. And once we've done that, we've accessed who we are as maturing sons and daughters. We've accessed the fullness of Elohim, the fullness of love, because we have surrendered. So over the last year with grief, we've been walking through the surrendering to sorrow, which is an example. It's a huge example, a life-changing example of the ways that we surrender. But I'm just calling this surrendering to the situation. So the situation may not be sorrow. It might be just something else. It might be a threat that's coming, or it might be something sad that's happening. But it could be anything. Anything where, like when Jesus was in the situation where all those people were hungry and there was no food. So there wasn't a sorrow about that. There was just simply, that's our situation. Is there was, how many people? We don't know. Was it 7,000? Was it 10,000? Was it 15,000 or 20,000 people? But however many people it was, those people were hungry and did not have food. And Jesus surrendered to that before Elohim, but Jesus brought praise from there. So we begin by surrendering to the situation and laying that armor down, laying down our processes, laying down our ways of fixing or getting this done. So there's nothing between the situation and God. We are not building a tower between the situation and God. We are yielding, we're surrendering to the fact that that situation needs God. So then we begin to praise Elohim. We bring to Elohim our thanksgiving and our testimonies. We thank Elohim for all the things Elohim has done. We remember the things that Elohim has done and the goodness of Elohim. Jesus knew that Elohim had compassion for those people. And Jesus thanked Elohim for being love in that moment. And now what we've been doing as we've sort of grown in this, this is just the last few weeks, but we've been actually saying, Elohim, I bring to you Tehillah praise. I bring to you Tehillah praise, which is to say that we acknowledge you as being good. We acknowledge you as being love. We acknowledge you as having compassion. Compassion for the pain of sickness. Compassion for the threat of harm. Compassion for a lot of people being hungry. Compassion for the sheep of Jesus who are thirsty, who are alone, who need to be clothed and visited. And we celebrate that that's who you are and bring that Tehillah praise. And when we do that with our breath, we have brought the governmental authority to create. So you may remember from session 4 that morning, which was the 4th of August, so that was 18 days ago. So Friday, the 4th of August, which is 3 weeks from this Friday. So I woke up after Thursday's August rush, which was very active. We were so, you know, full of life, and we released all these things, and I did session 1, and Ma, you did session 2, and Iggy did session 3, and it was hot, and we had great food, and we were celebrating, but I woke up Friday morning, and my body was just racked in pain. Every part of my body, and down to the slightest of fibers in my being, it seemed like we're in pain. And I was having one of those moments, you know, Advil or Tylenol. And what I felt to do was surrender. And so I did. I surrendered to that pain. And I did not put anything between, and I'm not saying that Advil or Tylenol are wrong. I'm just illustrating the journey that I walked through that morning. And I said, Elohim, I yield these things to you. I surrender to this pain. I cannot fix this, but I praise you because you are a God of compassion and love, and you don't want me to be in this pain. And I surrendered. And I praised I praised Elohim, and I said, Elohim, I bring to you my Tehillah praise, that you are a God of love. You are compassion. You are the one that has done so many miracles in the past. And I literally felt the pain go away in that moment. And that has been almost 3 weeks ago, and I have not had pain like that again, not once. And so I told that testimony as we went through that session four, and just put out that invitation for others to do the same, to surrender to the situation, surrender to the pain, surrender to what was happening, and choosing Elohim's source, bringing Tehillah praise to Elohim. And so the next day, which was Saturday, or maybe it was the next session. I think it might have been the next session. I just said, hey, did anybody pray that? And what was their experience? And there were seven hands that raised of people who did pray and praise, brought the Tehillah praise to the Lord. And they had their own physical miracle as well. So, okay, that's encouraging. Praise God. So just continuing forward, you know, we began getting testimonies left and right, and they just continued. And so we went to the leaders' summit, and that retreat began, and we had heard that there were some small outbreaks of COVID from some people that had attended the conference, and that some of the leaders who were in the retreat had been exposed to COVID. And so we were now asking the question, oh my goodness, what do we do? And so we had our morning praise, and in that morning praise, I just felt to surrender to this, like, oh Lord, you know, it would be maybe 3 years ago, we would have shut the retreat down and or sent people home, or, you know, sent people to quarantine because that was the right thing to do. But what is the right thing to do now? And so I surrendered. I just said, Lord, I surrender to this. And you know, we know that you have something on your heart for the leaders, and we don't want to stop it, but we want to respond to you. So we surrender and surrender to the situation. And then I began bringing that Tehillah praise to God. Again, you are a God of love and compassion, and your heart is for this leaders' retreat to continue. And so I just respond to that with praise, and I brought Tehillah praise. And as I did, I felt the governmental authority to create antibodies in all of the people who were there at the leaders' retreat. And so the testimony from that is I shared that with everyone. And I could feel that, you know, that faith of people who know God and know who God is, the faith was rising. And so our testimony is that not one person had to leave that retreat sick. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Not one had to leave. And that you know, that's a testimony that bears repeating. It's a testimony that causes our Tehillah praise to grow, because we have that to hold on to, and we can continue to repeat that testimony as we bring Tehillah praise. You are the God that created antibodies through our Tehillah praise in each person that was there, and not one leader had to leave. So that then, you know, as that conference continued, we continued getting little notes, messages, emails, texts, all kinds of things about people who were bringing Tehillah praise to Elohim and having the same situation. So another thing that began happening that week, which was last week, I think it was 2 weeks ago now. Good heavens. But anyway, whatever it was. So on August the 11th was Friday. I had a situation where we woke up and there were storms. And storms, you know, sometimes that's God speaking. Storms, sometimes that God's bringing rain to nurture, and there's a nurturing, and there's a storehouse that's being opened, and we are wanting to open that. And sometimes that storehouse is being occupied by evil, and I felt like this storm that was happening was not okay. There was something very wrong. And it was quite a wrestle morning. And so I was forgiving people in the atmosphere, and I definitely felt things change, but it didn't stop. So I brought the light, and I forgave some more as Elohim showed me. And again, it shifted, but I did not see it change. And so what happened next was I had this moment where I surrendered and I brought Tehillah praise. And at the end of that Tehillah praise, instead of creating something like specific, Elohim had me use that other word that was in the Power of Praise, session 4, which was Shabbat. And Shabbat is about the soothing, the stillness, but it's when creation is returned to praise. And when I remembered that, I remembered that that was what Jesus did when he brought the storms on, I think it was the Sea of Galilee, but they were in the boat and he brought the storms back to praise and they calmed. They were calm and soothed. And that was Shabbat. And so I just commanded the storms to come to Shabbat. And when I did that, like Elohim moved upon me to say it, and I did. And that storm stopped. Like there was not a single flash of lightning that was not from God. And I felt and heard and saw with my eyes through the window that storm roll away from us. And so it's like God has opened this door for us to move in a whole new level of governmental authority when it comes to storms and sickness, and when it comes to these threats, and when it comes to these opportunities. Like I can't wait to see more testimonies as we go forward, that it seems like that there's no limit. We just want to go to God and pursue Papa's will, Papa's way, because we're not changing the subject. It's still Papa's will, Papa's way, in the light of the presence of God, the light of Jesus. And we see what God says for us to do. But we have this now, this new response from the arsenal of who we are as maturing sons and daughters of God, betrothed to Jesus, that there is a Tehillah, noun feminine, praise that God's given us. So the last testimony I want to give, I spoke to this person, got their permission to share this, but I'm not going to give names out. I don't want to give those kinds of details. This testimony is pretty off the charts. And so where it begins is on the 9th of August, which is the Wednesday of the week of the leaders retreat. It was after August Rush. There was a person in another country who was kidnapped. And there were kidnappings taking place in this nation. And the people who were being kidnapped were being tortured. And in some cases, killed. So this was a very serious issue. On Wednesday, the 9th of August, on Saturday, the 12th, 3 days later, we received an Instagram direct message. Both we did, us, me and Mom McDowell, got an Instagram DM from a relative of this person who's a part of Blue Flame, and said, would you be praying? Well, we didn't see it. We didn't even see it. We were in the leader's retreat. We were in the middle of all the things that were going on, and we hadn't been on Instagram, so we didn't see that direct message until Monday. So on Monday, the 14th of August, we got that separately. And so we weren't together at the time, and so we didn't see it at the same time. So I saw it first thing in the morning, and immediately I felt like Elohim was saying, surrender. Like, there's nothing you can do, but you've got to surrender. So I surrendered to the situation and offered this person up to Elohim. This person's life is in your hands, Elohim, and you're a God of love, but I yield to you. And I felt like Elohim said, yes, now bring me Tehillah Praise. So I did, and I brought Tehillah Praise. And as I did, I felt like Elohim said that with the governmental authority to create doors of freedom for this kidnapped person. So then Ma gets this, you got this, and you prayed the exact same thing. So 7 hours after I prayed and 4 hours after Ma prayed, which was a 4-7, we got a text from the person in Blue Flame. It was a DM on Instagram that this person had miraculously escaped. And, you know, we know that there were many people praying, and we know that this is all about giving God the glory. But just between us and you, we just want to say the encouragement that God gave rescuing this person who was kidnapped in another country, was, you know, all the people that you know, any person who had escaped or had been set free had been tortured, and many others had not and had been killed. And to have this impossible that we could surrender to, and 4 hours later, 7 hours later, see this person escape because doors opened. It was miraculous. Like there was a distraction, there was an opportunity, the person escaped, made it to another town, was able to get help, and has actually left the country since then, and is now safe and sound. We are praising God. We're giving God the glory. Only God could have done this, but wow, what an encouragement.
Yeah.
So we did set up an email address at Blue Flame because we know that there's a number of people who have been bringing Tehillah Praise, and they have testimonies and they want to share them. And so I'm going to tell you this email address. If you are surrendering to a situation and bringing Tehillah Praise to God, and from that see a creative miracle, we want to know. It means something to us. We're not trying to prove anything. We're not trying to, you know, go down the road. I know many have done that before. We just want to give God the glory. So Tehillah in English, hilarious, is spelled T-E-H-I-L-L-A-H. So that's T is in tango, E is in echo, H is in hotel, I is in India, L is in Lima, L is in Lima, A is in alpha, and H is in hotel. T-E-H-I-L-L-A-H. Tehillah at blueflame47.com. Send us an email. Send us your testimonies. We invite them. We want them. We'd love to get them. And we give God the glory. Wow, what God has done in these few weeks.
Yeah, there was somebody that was in the know that the email had been created. And thank you, Whistle, for getting that made and ready for this season. But we've already received an email. And that was someone who they'd been around some people that were ill and started having some of those symptoms and had a cough. And so they just surrendered to the cough and asked the Lord to come and be their comfort and just burn alongside them in it, and then began to offer their praise for all the times that the Lord had healed them and held them, and they didn't cough again after that and still haven't. So, you know, we're just amazed. And, you know, had somebody share with me at the end of last week that they had have always had an issue when the barometric pressure changes. And so when that happened and they were feeling the impact of that, they surrendered to the pressure and walked through the journey to Tehillah, and that impact stopped. And then they're beginning that journey in another area in their body and beginning to see the shift of that. And so, you know, I'm so grateful that this journey of grief to joy really taught us this, you know, surrendering to the sorrow. And then, you know, you come to this place as you sift and sort, and then you begin to praise. You begin to praise for who the Lord is, and then you begin to create that new life. And it's just remarkable what we've been given, you know, the inheritance we truly have. I know during AR, I knew that Saturday morning we had a special session, which was the AIM game that we got to do. And it had just been real, real hot, you know, kind of beastly hot. And we're already eating outside, and I'm knowing I'm going to be asking everyone to be outside and then be back outside for lunch. And I wasn't watching the forecast or anything, but I was hearing, you know, around and about how hot, like Saturday was going to be the hottest of the hot. And so I was just resting as we went to bed Friday evening, and, you know, had entered into Shabbat, and I just surrendered to the forecast, to what the potential was, what it could be, and just, you know, was really asking Elohim to be our comfort in the day, whatever that looked like, and to just come with that compassion to burn alongside us. And then I just began that Tehillah, just that gratefulness, just that thankfulness for all they had done, you know, up to now. And then we had this storm come in. And, you know, and I just prayed, it was just, I want to create with you the atmosphere you really have for tomorrow. And the storm came in and cooled it off, cooled everything off. And we were setting up and we were chilly, like it was that it had cooled off that much. And we had such a breeze that we needed to put down one of the walls of the anchor's lookout, you know, just so that we could, you know, things weren't blowing and all that. And so, yeah, it's amazing. And yeah, so we just so invite you to journey in that with us and share it as you do. I had a really incredible experience Thursday at sundown. We entered into the new month of Elul. And so Friday morning, we gathered, the ladies here gathered, and we do this each month, and we welcome the month and all that that has been stirring in us related to it. And we do various things to welcome the new month that we're coming into. And when we were gathered, what kept coming from the hearts that were held there was people, the ladies were having to sing, like that's what they're saying. I've been like in this place, I was in my car, I was in my home, I was in a situation, and I just had to praise. I just had to praise. And the only way to express to Elohim what was in me was to sing. And so it brought up this beautiful story from a previous season of Elul where someone discovered their song with Elohim, like their own song with Elohim, and how Elohim just made something majestic in a moment. Like and took something from really that place of what will we do in this situation to how could we not praise in this situation? And it was just pretty incredible to be part of that morning. And so I was seeing that like this just in motion, in movement, and just us coming to this real place of praise together. And so just very, very, just deeply moved right now by all the to come that there is. And so I want to just visit Elul this morning because, for us, we usually have a little, that deep sigh after winter tea or AR, and where it's like, okay, everything's kind of settled, still, and quiet. And this time has been very different. This AR, we of course had the Kahal leaders retreat, and so we got to be there and just enter into the fullness of that. But in the midst of it, just Elohim was revealing themselves in the most profound and powerful ways, where we just had to have journals out and our hearts ready for every beat that was matching up with theirs. And it put in us such an anticipation for the to come and for the new year that we're entering into. And we'll be talking about that in the next podcast or so. Cause it's coming quickly, less than a month, and we'll be entering into the new year. And it's pretty powerful what Elohim is revealing. And so we have just felt this really awakened sense of anticipation. And then realizing that's the season we've just come into, the month we've just come into, this month of Elul. And it is a time of great awakenedness and awareness and just anticipation, like off the charts anticipation. So Elul has this really incredible dynamic of being the last month of the Hebrew year, yet it holds the first tabernacle of the story, of that circuit, the story that's told throughout the year. So it's got this ending and this beginning, and, so a conclusion and a start. And it has this reminder that we're in the midst of the story, and not just in the midst of it, but we're in the middle of it together. And that together matters, that we're in the story together. And so one of the things that Elohim was revealing to me in this particular Elul is that time is being reconciled here. So we have the Hebrew leap years where time is reconciled, that lag, that 11-day lag of each year is reconciled and brought back together. But here in every year, we have this place where timelines are reconciled. They're brought together, and we get to have this view of where we stand and that we are placed for where we're going. And so there's just this incredible timelines are reconciled. So where we have been is reconciled to not just where we're going, but where else would we be? And we're completely reconciled to being right here, right now, in all that is happening, because that most specifically translates to all Elohim is doing and inviting us to do. We're in this place of being invited to create new scenarios, new circumstances, new places for us to occupy together, places we've never been, which is what we've been describing, this morning in a deep way. And so I keep, as I was coming into Elul, I was being drawn to this Blue Army session where this was Unifier and Zahab, and these were the words that came. It's in the hem of your garment, the hem of your lovely lines. Hem me into your beautiful, beautiful place. Like, that is such a perfect description of Elul. Bridging timelines, forming them into one. Doing the impossible, your time has come. You've got a time, you've got a place, and you're bridging that into one. Those boundaries you made, you're pulling it all into one. Love looks like something, boundary lines that become your timelines. Not a border, it's a timeline. It's not keeping anyone out. It's rushing in like a river. It's moving forward, forward, bridging those off times and redeeming them into one, like veins going to your heart, bridging timelines into one. And I really loved that, those off times, those times when we didn't know why or what, being brought into this fullness, this wholeness. I know for us, part of this way that Elohim has been just stirring us and moving us these weeks since AR is we're able to recognize that so many of those times were for now, like they were preparing us for now. And there's this reconciliation happening in us, like our timelines are being reconciled and we're just getting this, yeah, just this recognition of, oh, that was for now. Oh, that was for right now. This past is becoming present. And that's what Elul does. It connects the past year with the coming year, but it really connects the past with all that's coming. And it's pretty amazing. So one of the aspects of Elul is that the king is in the field. That's a phrase or a truth of this time. The king is in the field. So one of the things that happens with that is the king isn't just in the field. We recognize the king wherever he is. So when that would be said in our history, the king is in the field, well, that really meant something to the people because there were the people. The fields were a very present thing for them. You know, our fields look a little different. There are people who are in wheat fields and corn fields, but there are also people in the field of banking. There are people in the field of medicine. There are people in the field of construction. You know, those are all fields. And so, you know, but there was a time when most everyone plowed and sowed and harvested the grain that would be sustenance for the family. And so when a farmer would see the king in the field, he wouldn't keep plowing. He would pause, he would say la. He would enter into this place of praise, and he would not behave like this was any other day in the field, like that this was just a regular occurrence. So Elul is a time when the things that are ordinary become extraordinary, because when the king comes into the field, everything changes. And this has been a real place for me as assessor and my fields is I have this expectancy every time I enter one of my fields that I'm praying for, that I'm sowing in, that I'm watering, that I'm tending to, that the king is going to meet me in that field. And we're going to pause together and begin to praise. You know, we're going to meet each other there. And so one of the just incredible aspects is the field becomes a holier place than it was. It goes from being mundane to majestic. And so the king coming into the field of Elul isn't simply, oh, we have this month of the year where this happens, it's reminding us to live this way always. Every one of the months, this is why we tend to them the way that we do. This is why we explore them and look for deeper and wider in it, because it reminds us to live that way in every month. You know, but Elohim knew from the beginning that we get distracted, we get dissuaded, we just have these things that pull at us, and the story is always drawing us back, to what's real and what's true and how we can actually live, because we've lived it before and many lived it before us. And so it's always drawing us to that. And I think this particular month, Elul, is such a reminder to stay in the story, like it's to just stay in the story. So the month of Elul is really a place of pause and preparation. So there are 40 days between Elul 1 and Yom Kippur. And those 40 days invite us to live every day in anticipation of the high and the holy, of these things that seem far away, but we're meant to touch and take hold of. And so one of the things that happens in these 40 days is that the shofar is blown every day of those 40 days in anticipation. And then that shofar blast, it is an invitation to come closer to God, because Yom Kippur is like the closest you can be, nothing between you. All is redeemed, all is restored, all is atoned. You know, all of that is real and true every day, but that day draws us to the romance of it, to the beauty of it. So that's the purpose of the shofar blast. And one of the meanings of Elul is to dwell. So one of the things that also happens every day of these 40 days from Elul 1 to Yom Kippur is the reading of Psalm 27. And so Psalm 27 begins with, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Who shall I be afraid of?" It goes on to say, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord." The king is in the field. "To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple, wherever he is. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent, set me high upon a rock. Then I will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. I will praise." And it goes on to say, "I remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." Oh my goodness. So that beginning is so amazing. The Lord is my light and my salvation. In the Midrash, it tells us that light is associated with Rosh Hashanah, and my salvation is associated with Yom Kippur. And then later, where it says he will hide me in his tabernacle, it's associated with Sukkot. And so here's David celebrating these feasts in his heart, these high holy days, anticipating them, they're coming. And that's what Elul invites us to live so expectant for all that is coming. This awareness of Elul began really with Moses in that first year after the people came out of Egypt. And this was, you know, after the Exodus, and they'd been to Mount Sinai, and then Moses is at Mount Sinai, and then the people build the golden calf, and you know, Moses comes down and enters into condition, smashes the tablets. But then on the morning of the first of Elul, he ascended Sinai again, and he took with him the stone tablets he had now made, and so that this inscription, this re-inscription could happen, of the thing, the love letter could be written, and it would be on their hearts now. And so he remained there for 40 days from the first of Elul till the 10th of Tishri, which is Yom Kippur, just on behalf of the people, on behalf of who they really were. And he just, he was in this haven of sorts, and that's what Elul is. It's a haven in time. It's a place of refuge from all that has been happening, you know, all the circumstances, all the situations. And we begin to become aware of our own choices within those circumstances, the places we may have made decisions instead of a choice, or didn't choose and chose anyway, because not choosing has a choice of its own. And so it's this place to prepare to live in awe, to let the past be reconciled to the future by being so aware in your present of who he is, who he has always been, and who he will always be. And to be really met there, and to really welcome the king into the field by being able to recognize that he's present, that the king is present. And I think that's part of blowing the shofar each day is the declaration for me. It's the declaration, he's here. He's met me. And so it's this, it prepares us for the holiness to come. And it's just like Elul is like a lookout tower, really, that takes us above the surface of our everyday, so we can see the true essence of the world we're in, the kingdom that we're in. And every work can be reconciled as worship. Every act that we do, everything that we do becomes worship, is restored to that place and becomes praise, becomes what we do when we surrender, we worship, and then becomes the praise of when we reveal what it was like to meet him in the field. So something interesting, when the king would come into the field of that day, and realize that that day it was literally kings from the palaces were coming into the fields, but they weren't just coming for the day and saying, good job, workers. You know, it was, they actually would pitch their tent in the field. They would pitch their tent there. And they would stay in the field. And so there was just all of this access and such an abiding presence. And as I was thinking about that this time, just the king literally pitching his tent in the field of me, I kept thinking of Acts 2:29, where it says, we have pitched our tents in the land of hope. So this was, the context of this was Pentecost. So all of the people suddenly were all together in one place. And in a moment, they shared the same heart, the same love, and the same belief in the promises of everything, of this fulfillment, these plans and purposes that had been spoken. They were filled with the Spirit, and they could then all hear each other. They could understand each other, but there was this really beautiful thing they were getting to hear, to understand, to comprehend, because what they were talking about was the wonderful works of God. That is what they began speaking out. How wonderful, how marvelous, how absolutely stunning and stellar the Lord was to each of them. And they could understand each other sharing the wonderful works of God in their life. And they were drawn together. They were unified in it. And then Peter begins his sermon, like, and this was this epic sermon, so wonderful. And in this sermon, he quotes various passages that are really precious to us. So in his sermon, he quoted Joel 2, which is a historic passage for us that is coming present in very purposeful ways and powerful ways. And that's where it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. On my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. They shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And I got to share a testimony Saturday night session, the memento session of AR, about a young man who began having visions. And I let you go to that and hear the fullness, but that is where we are. And, you know, what I love is Peter gave this sermon as if it was his last day. He lived in that moment as if it was his last day, you know, and it says it shall come to pass in the last days. Well, we don't know what those are. So maybe we get to live every day like it is that, you know, and have that kind of fervor, that kind of passion for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it will come through his flesh, his spirit pouring on our flesh. And we begin living this life for real, like in fullness of all that is available and accessible to us right now, which is a whole lot. Like a whole lot is available and accessible. And then Peter went on to quote Psalm 16, "I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart praised, my tongue was glad, and my flesh rests in the land of hope. I pitched my tent in the land of hope." Remarkable, remarkable days that we are coming towards, that we are making the choice to enter. We pitch our tent in the land of hope. We offer our flesh for the outpouring of his spirit, of the spirit of our God, that all of these things that we begin to live in a way that people can't resist. People can't resist, and they will begin to call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Yom Kippur. So Elul is an acronym for I am my beloved's and he is mine. And I discovered something pretty cool as I was looking through this. That, of course, is Song of Songs 6:3, but I just was felt to read all of Song of Songs. And as I did, I came to Song of Songs 2:16, which says, "My beloved is mine and I am his." Then you come to Song of Songs 6:3, and it says, "I am my beloved's and he is mine." And that seems on the outlook just as a, you know, the phrase was changed up. But when I dug into it, and I'm not going to go into all the words here, but when I dug into that order, what I discovered was this was a sign of a maturing bride. Because she went from "my beloved is mine," what belonged to her, to "I am my beloved's," which expressed who she belonged to, not just to, but with. Like she knew her place. She knew where she belonged. She knew the king was in the field. And she had just come through, you know, chapter 5, which was, you know, a bit of, you know, this search and this, you know, this place where they were apart. And now she comes into this renewed sense of connection and oneness and actual enjoyment of relationship. And that is, that's Elul, where we begin to display the enjoyment of this relationship we're in. Enjoyment of all the inheritance of it, the choice that is inheritance, every part of it, that is our inheritance, that when we live it, when we spend it, someone else is saved. And so Song of Songs, you know, it's a story of grief to joy, and it's also the story of the maturing bride, the bride that looks at where she stands and says, I will not be anywhere else. I am my beloved's, and he is mine. I know who I belong with. I know what field is mine, and I know that my king pitches his tent in it, and I'm going to pitch my tent too. I'm going to pitch my tent in that land of hope. I'm going to offer all of my flesh, and that's this season of looking, where can we offer our flesh? Where are we acting in fleshly ways? You know, where is our flesh taken over and brought forth our reactions instead of the Spirit inviting our responses? Like, we get to look at those things in these days leading up to Yom Kippur, which is the rehearsal, the wedding rehearsal, the rehearsal before the wedding, where we're invited to see ourselves exactly as the groom does. And so I want to mention our dimension really quick in this, because it's pretty amazing. The dimension that we have come into is Kumi Ori, which is arise and shine. And arise is like this command of God, arise. And it has its roots in corn or wheat that has reached full growth and can now fulfill the purpose to be harvested and bring life and bring strength. And that happens through communion. So it's this, come meet me in the field. The king is in the field. He has pitched his tent. Will we pitch our tent? And then shine is Ori, which is the light of Elohim. It's the light that brings life and strength. It harkens back to Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. This word becomes true and real when we begin to shine, when we begin to live that Joel 2 life, when we begin to draw to him and draw together. The light allows that. It allows us to draw to where the king is and to draw to where each other is, to draw together and to have that Acts 2 moment where we're drawn together in the same life, the same hope, the same belief, the same love. And just remembering that at the time that Isaiah said this, Jerusalem was in ruins. Nothing was expected to come from this defeated city, but it was the home of the temple of God when Jesus walked, you know, when he walked upon the earth. And we do recognize ruins in our day, but there is light inside, and we get to take note of the light. We get to take note of where the light is and where we strengthen it. We make it stronger because we've been nourished by it. We've been nourished by this light. We've been grown and matured. We are overcoming to maturity, and it is his light that emanates from us. We rise and shine. And then radiant is what we named this dimension. That word is nahar, and it means to burn or to sparkle. And it comes from a root that has the idea of a flowing or running stream. It's light in motion, and we are the ones that put light in motion. So a meaning of radiant is array, which means to arrange or set in order. And that is this day. The light is shining, and we are able to arrange or put things in the order that it belongs in. It also means to arrange a table. We're setting a table for others to come and be able to sit, to join, to touch, to come into close contact with the king so they can see the truth. And these are big, big days we're in. And when we were in the Rosh Hashanah time, Oat was sharing that as she was singing, she knew she was searching for a word that really mattered. And that word came forth as ravished. And that just took me into Song of Songs again, which Song of Songs 4:9 says, "You have ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. You have ravished my heart with one look of your eyes, with one chain of your neck." So one of the meanings of that, the chain of the neck, there was a pendant that was worn that had an oil, and it was, we've talked about it in numerous various times, but that was the oil of the bride, the oil that she would anoint the groom with on the wedding day. And even though it was, the oil was within this pendant, after so long of wearing it, she would begin to smell like that. Like it would, she would begin to absorb that scent. And so it was this place of recognition, because you've recognized me, is what was being said. And so just briefly, that word ravished comes from an ancient root that means to pull the bark from a tree. And so basically the Lord was saying that I'm giving you the ability to break my heart. You have my heart in your hands. There is no one to protect my heart from you. Only you can protect it. Only you can care for my heart like a bride cares for the heart of the groom. You have the ability to hold my heart and to reveal my heart and to share. This was a word of meeting vulnerability with vulnerability. You have this place to see the complete and utter vulnerability of my heart, and the invitation is to meet it with your own, so we become one. And that just feels like a very important place to be, a very important recognition to have, that we share vulnerabilities. That's what the Lord shares, is the vulnerabilities of their heart. I'm giving you my heart. And we return that gift with our heart, all our vulnerabilities, our fears, our, you know, all of those things. And we become one. We get a new place to dwell and a deep place to become one, so that we're grafted. This is the grafting place, and it's where joy is completed. So very expectant these days. Sing with all your heart, praise with all you've got. I think it's interesting that the system for this month is the lymphatic system, which returns the blood to the heart. And that's what this ravished says to me, is we're returning the blood to the heart. We're returning everything to the heart of the one who offered it and gave it. And yeah, there we are.
Well, thank you. I loved what you said about staying in the story. Mm. And I think when we don't stay in the story, we miss the context of what's happening around us. But if we remember the story that God's given us, that as things happen, they're not happening to us, we're flowing with the story, and so we're flowing in covenant, and we're able to stay with Elohim and see, oh, wow, this isn't something that's happening to me. This is something that is being provided. We're going to do something incredible with this.
Yeah, it's not just something where he's going to do for us. It's what we're going to do together. It's that creating place, and that came up in Rosh Hashanah too. Like, those songs are about what we create, what we change, what we affect, what we bring into order of what his heart really is. So, yeah. Send your emails, your testimony emails, and we will see you tonight on live stream.
See you tonight. Love you all.